Ramsey TV.
The disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, I gotta say this, I hope there are no living descendants who will be offended by what I'm about to say, but not the sharpest tools in the shed. Now, not the sharpest guys, not the smartest guys, not the most astute guys. They were a little base, they were a little petty, and they wanted to be great. This is Martin Zender. I simply am great. I don't strive to be great. God makes me great. I just said that to tweak a lot of you out there. So with that, I will go to Matthew chapter 18. Here's a great example of the disciples getting it all wrong. And I'm going to, in the wake of this, tell you how to get it right. Although you will figure that out yourself before too long, because I have the smartest audience in YouTube, on YouTube, anywhere YouTube is sold. Matthew 18. Now in that hour, I'm going to tell you what that hour is in a second, because it's pretty great. The disciples came to Jesus saying, who consequent to what? Good question. Who consequently is greatest in the kingdom of the heavens? That was their big thing. Who's going to be greatest? Who's going to sit at your right hand? Who's going to be chief of this? Who's going to be chief of that? Calling a little child to him, Jesus stands it in their midst and said, quote, verily I am saying to you, if you should not be turning and becoming as little children, you may by no means be entering into the kingdom of the heavens. Ooh, what a difference between who is greater in the kingdom of the heavens and you might not even enter the kingdom of the heavens. Jesus goes on in verse 4 of Matthew 18, who then will be humbling himself as this little child? He is the greatest in the kingdom of heavens. Whoever's humbling himself. So now, if you really do want to be great, I guess it's a legitimate thing. Who doesn't want to be great, honestly? So Jesus just put out the protocol here. If you want to be great, you got to become the most humble. So from that point on, I believe it would probably be a humility contest, which is kind of backhanded, isn't it? Because you're only being humble because you want to be great. Nevertheless, there it is. Oh, it doesn't matter. I don't think that the motives... Well, yeah, the motives matter, but I think the world can benefit from people competing with one another to be humble. And as we know, the principle in the scripture is he or she who becomes the lowest will become the highest. This is the principle. Jesus Christ, our Lord, emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, dying the most ignoble death possible, the death of the cross. Wherefore, God highly exalts him. Oh, speaking of wherefore, in that hour, the disciples came to him. Who, consequently, what are they talking about? What went before that that would cause them to ask this question? Well, I can only go to verse 27 of the previous chapter, which, of course, in the inspired scriptures was not a chapter. Verse 27, yet lest we should be snaring them. This is Jesus speaking. They were talking about the tax, the temple tax. Who pays the temple tax? Why do we have to pay the temple tax? It's for the aliens. Israel shouldn't be paying the temple tax. Jesus says, I know. However, lest we be causing them offense, go, tells Peter, cast a fish hook into the sea, pick up the first fish coming up, and opening its mouth, you will be finding a stater. That was a little coin, and it was enough for the tax. Well, it wasn't a little coin. It was worth quite a bit, because getting that, give it to them for me and you. In other words, that stater, whatever the hell it is, was enough to pay the temple tax for our Lord and for Peter. Now, in that hour, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who will be the greatest? So what just happened was Jesus showed, our Lord showed his ability to get money out of a fish. All right, now, I think that's the greatest thing in the four accounts. I mean, besides the death, entombment, resurrection of Christ, pulling money out of a fish, putting the first hook in the water, I would like to put this in a film. I would like to, because I think I could really get into the scene, into the mindset of Peter. Do what? And then the expression on the face when he pulls the first fish out, puts his finger in its mouth, and goes, oh my God. There it is. that sets the table then for who will be the greatest. That is, who will have the best ability to pull money out of fish mouth. Who will have the power to do this? It was all about power. And I think it's interesting that the subject matter here in that hour was money, tax money. And in this life, money is everybody's idea of sustenance, everybody's idea of greatness. They wanted to be great in the kingdom of heaven, and maybe the disciples related it to Solomon, who was a great king. He had a kingdom indeed, and he was the richest man on the earth. At this time, these guys were poor fishermen, barely kept their family fed, right? Then up from the sea come a bubbling fish with a stater in its mouth. So they're thinking, this is a pretty good job. So they wanted to know how to get it. And Jesus said, well, you don't get it by becoming great. You get it by becoming humble. And so I'm all for beginning humility contests. It's so great because we are on the brink of such glory. We are on the brink of such pompous pomp and circumstance that to me it's delicious to precede that greatness with incredible humility. I love it. I want the contrast. I don't want to be great in this life. Why? Because I know it's coming. I know what's coming, and I'm going to be glorified beyond anybody's imagination, even mine. And so, do I want to precede that with being glorified here? No, I want to be humble, humble, humble. It reminds me of a story. Back in, as you know, 1980, I bicycled across the United States, and I worked at a hospital shortly thereafter, Altman Hospital in Canton, Ohio. And the woman who ran the hospital newsletter or newspaper, she wanted to do a story on me because it was such a great thing, right? Great accomplishment. So she wrote the story. And right after that, before the story came out, there was a guy I was with in the elevator. I was an orderly. He was a fellow orderly. And he was bragging to me about what a great bicyclist he was. He goes, look at my muscles. And he punches his leg. He goes, and I did this and I did that. And the other day I did this and I rode that. And he's going, boom, boom. He kept punching his leg. And he was a really short guy, but he was really proud of his quadriceps, punching his leg. Punch that. I think he even asked me to punch it. He's a great cyclist. So what did I do? I just totally played it cool. I didn't say nothing. I go, yeah, man, you got quadriceps, man. Your quadriceps are way out of proportion to the rest of your body. I enjoyed the humility of not making my case that I had done this epic thing on a bicycle, because I figured later, it's really devious. Later, when the article comes out, he'll read it and he'll go, oh, geez, Zender did this great thing. Didn't even talk about it. And he's a little abashed at the time. Not that I want to abash people, but it wouldn't be bad either. So you might act humble now. Act humble now, because it's so great, because then when you're elevated, the people who knew you in your humility will go, what? That guy later looked at me and goes, what? See, he was shocked because I acted so nonchalant, so nonplussed. I mean, I was impressed by his quadriceps. Like, oh, you're a great, great quadriceps. But play it humble now. One of the greatest verses, John 13, 1 through 17. I recommend this for everybody. This is fun. It's not only scripturally delicious, but it's fun. John 13, 1, 17. I'm actually going to close the show with this. I'm sorry. I know you want me to talk all day. I understand. I understand that, but I have to make a point and then departe-vous, but I'll be back tomorrow. So we're going to go John 13. Maybe you know where I'm going as I scroll through. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus, being aware that his hour came, that he may be proceeding out of this world to the Father. See, out of this world to the Father. So he's already, Jesus Christ is already looking past his death and entombment. He's not saying that he's proceeding out of this world to the Father. He's not referring to death here. He's looking past the death state. And this doesn't mean that he won't die, of course. He knows he's going to be dead for 3 days. But he's looking to a proceeding out of this world. Love that phraseology. Take it as your own. The hour is coming for us that we may be proceeding out of this world. Out of this world. It's a scriptural phrase. Man, that guy's out of this world. It's actually in the Bible. to the Father. That's what we're going to be doing. Loving his own who are in the world, he loves them to the consummation. And at the coming of dinner, the adversary, having already cast into the heart of Judas, we know what happened there, giving him up. Jesus, being aware that the Father has given all into his hands, that he came out from God and is going away to God, is rising from dinner and is, listen to this, laying down his garments and getting a cloth, he girds himself. Thereafter, he is draining water into the basin and begins washing the feet of the disciples and wiping them off with the cloth with which he was girded. He is coming then to Simon Peter, going down the line. The most humble thing you can do in Israel, get down on your knees in front of inferiors, you being the great one, and washing the lowest part of the human body, the foot, the dirtiest part of the human body, the foot. Peter still doesn't get it at this late stage of the game. Peter says, Lord, thou art washing my feet, protesting. Jesus said to him, what I am doing, you are not aware at present. Yeah, you sure as hell aren't, Peter. And what Peter was not aware of, that I am making us aware of, is that this epic glory that we're coming into must be preceded by almost extreme humility, serving other people, deeming others more worthy than yourself. Jesus answered, said to him, what I'm doing, you're not aware at present. No kidding. Yet you will know after these things. And we know this now. It's the delicious contrast of being nobodies in the world and of actually serving the inferiors that we're surrounded by. We're surrounded by inferiors as far as spiritual acumen goes, right? And so the best thing to do is for us to just play it low, like me in the elevator with that guy. Oh, yeah, nice quadriceps. Oh, yeah, well, you really put on a nice party there. Yeah, wow, way to buy that stock. You were really smart about buying that stock. Who gives a crap about the party or the stock? I couldn't care less, and yet I elevate these things for these people, for their sake. Oh, that's pretty, well, this guy really, Martin Zender, really interested in this. When they see me glorified, they'll realize, that guy was just being nice. He was just being humble. He didn't give a crap about parties or stocks. He was humbling himself. He was basically washing my feet, whereas his aspirations, his dreams, his desires, his goals, his expectation, so much higher than this bullcrap I was talking about on the earth. And yet, when I was on the earth, this Zender guy, he really buttered me up. He acquiesced to my bullshit, and he was interested in my bullshit, and what a guy, this Zender guy. But it really doesn't show up until after the glorification. Then, whoo, wow, what a contrast. But at the heart of it, maybe I'll finish this passage tomorrow. It's so rich. At the heart of it is we humble ourselves. And a lot of us don't have to volunteer for that. God graciously humbles us, does it for us. And the result is not to stay humble. No, the result is to create this amazing contrast prior to our glorification.